think I've seen that probably like half a dozen times, and I can't get through it without crying. Not one time. Not one time. I think the thing that's so, I can't even like right now. I think the thing that's so powerful is when he says, I came here just for you. Just for you. And it reminded me of what Richie preached about last week when he said, you are known. You're known. And your heavenly Father comes just for you in every circumstance, in every season of your life. He comes just for you. And I want to dive into this a little bit more. Feel free to grab some tissues. They're littered about, so grab some tissues. But this whole series has been based upon Isaiah 9:6, and it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And the reason why I chose this particular scene from Chosen is because I don't think that there's another scene that accurately depicts Jesus as our Wonderful Counselor more than that scene. I love the intimacy of him going right to her. I love the intimacy of how he talked directly to her situation. He talked directly to the things of her past. And so today I want to ask you three questions. We're going to dive into these questions a little bit. And the first one is, do you really know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? John 4, and all my verses today are taken directly from that story. And so John 4:13-14 says, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I am giving will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. I love how we use this analogy because that's exactly what she was doing. She was getting water and she was fetching water. And he uses the analogy of water in her season. And I want to pose this to you, that do you think that in every circumstance that we encounter, that it's a new opportunity for us to see something new about Jesus, for us to see something new about his character for us? Do you think in every season, whether good or bad, that he's revealing his nature to us in a new way? I've been married to Richie for 19 years. But every day I feel like I learn something new about him. Something, I'm like, really, we're still with the towels? But then the other day he said to me, yeah, I prefer Pepsi over Coke. I was like, what? Do I even know you? Pepsi over Coke? Gross. But little things like that, where it's like, if that's just from human to human interaction, this 19 years with this person, but can you imagine for a lifetime, Jesus wants to reveal who he is to us? I imagine heaven is going to be amazing because we're going to be like, I never knew that about you. And I don't think it's because he's not wanted to show us. I think it's because we don't take the time to know him intimately, the way that he deserves to be known. And so I want to ask you this question going into the new year, because this is our last service, you know, together in person. Would you be willing to set aside your 2022 to getting to know Jesus and his character? Instead of asking questions when we go through seasons, hard times, difficult seasons, even those seasons of blessing, would you be willing to ask him, what are you teaching me about who you are in this season? Instead of saying, why am I going through this? What did I do to deserve this? What if we start asking the question, Lord, I know you're trying to reveal something about your character right now. What is it? Show me what you want me to see about you. You know, a lot of those times when I encounter situations like that, if I say, Lord, what are you teaching me right now in this season? It's normally that I'm a good father, that I have good gifts for you. So remember that when you encounter seasons of your life. The second question is this: what's keeping you from really knowing him? And in one conversation, Jesus clears up three things, and I want to just touch on these for a second. The first is he talks about blatant sin, the blatant sin that she's living in. He doesn't hide it. He doesn't skirt around it. He doesn't patty cake it or push it under the rug. He addresses it. He goes right for it. I love that about Jesus because he did it in such a way that was intimate. It was private. It wasn't on public display. He didn't humiliate her. He talked to her. Can we do that with each other? Whether it's in our families, whether it's in our workspaces, wherever it is, can we do that with people? Can we go to them and ask them? We don't gossip behind their back. We don't, you know, do things to harm them or to harm their reputation, but we go to them. I love that how he did that. It was so intimate. The next thing is he addressed her self-made barriers. This woman had sanctioned her life in such a way that she kept people at bay. She wanted to be in isolation. She positioned her life in such a way because being around people caused rejection. And how Jesus was so, I love how he just broke into the scene. Can I have a drink of water? Like I know exactly what you're about. I read your mail. I got all your cards. They're right in here in front of me. But I'm coming right into where you want to be. You want to be isolated, but I'm coming right to you. Are we that church? Are we those people when we see our people isolated? There is a world of people who are lost and dying and need a savior. Are we willing to be the people that says, in the midst of all this craziness I have going on, I need to be with this person right now. I need to tell them about Jesus' love. I need to be his hands and feet in this season. Am I willing to be inconvenienced for others in this season of life? And I think just like Jesus did, we can model our life right after that. And what we'll see is blessing. Because what happens is we're not storing up treasures here on earth that are going away. We're storing up heavenly treasures. And when we keep our mind focused and our heart focused on, wait a second, I can acquire all this crap and it's all going to go away one day. But the one thing that I can take with me to heaven is relationships. Then it changes how we live. If that's the only thing I get to take with me, then we need to start acquiring more. We need to start developing relationships and building relationships with people. We need to run after the lost. Are we willing to be those people? The third thing that Jesus addressed was he addressed her faulty thinking. And sometimes I've read this story before and I've skirted over this verse because it's uncomfortable. But you know me. I'm going to go right at it. John 4:22, and he said, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews." And I've always read and skirted over that because the social justice seeker inside of me doesn't like that verse because I feel like there's parts of it that can be misconstrued. And so we skirt over that as like, well, yes, but Jesus was inclusive and he loved everybody and everybody just, you know, it's okay. And so it gets hairy sometimes when we're not prying open the scriptures and we're saying, "Lord, what are you teaching me right now about this verse? It's uncomfortable for me, but what are you trying to show me right now through this verse?" And when I did a little deeper dive into it, I was able to see and have peace with this verse. And it says this word, "no," the word he uses in here, "no," it means to have seen, appreciate, and be aware of. The Jews had seen the tangible presence of God. They had seen his presence. They appreciated him. They tailored their life in such a way that it was around God. If you know anything about the Samaritans, then you know that they were Jews who had intermarried with Assyrians. And so some of their practices had become very legalistic, extremely rigid. They only read the first 5 books of the Bible. They would not read anything else, no prophets, no nothing. They only read that, and they were rigid in their practice of faith. And Jesus says, "You don't even know who you worship." He goes right to faulty thinking in that. "You're so religious that you don't even know me. I'm the King of Kings. I'm sitting right in front of you. You don't know me." And that spoke so powerfully to me because I'm like, how often do we get into this religious, you know, rigmarole where we just, I'm doing this, I wake up every day, I do my devotions, and then I do this, and then I do that, and then I lay down in bed and go to, and we, where's our relationship? Mom and I were talking about this the other day. Sometimes you wake, we'll wake up in the morning and there'll be a song, a worship song in my heart. Man, it takes over my entire devotion time with the Lord. Do I feel like the Lord is like, you didn't read the word, so it didn't count? No, not at all. Not at all. Because sometimes the words to a song will change the trajectory of your heart. That's why we worship every week before the word is preached. Because we want to lay, like, what is it called? Till up the ground of our heart a little bit. We want to plow it open a little bit so that we can really receive what the Lord has for us. There's a method behind the madness. There's a reason why we worship. So don't get religious in that. Just like the woman at the well, religious. They were religious about that. But she didn't know the God that she served. And I think he wants us to know him intimately. The third question is this. Have you found everlasting hope in Jesus? John 4, 25 and 26. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. So here's this unclean woman, poor, living in sin, a woman. So she's got all of these things stacked against her. And Jesus comes directly to her and said, I'm counting on you to tell everybody about me. I haven't revealed myself to anyone yet, just you. Man, that's powerful. That's hope. And that's what our wonderful counselor constantly does. He constantly gives us hope. That's why the world can be crazy all around us. Things can be going on all around us, but we have hope that can't disappoint. We're anchored to a different system. We're not anchored by the law. We're not anchored by the government. We're anchored to Jesus, and he's our everlasting hope. And so today, I want to ask you that question again. Where is your hope? Have you found it in Jesus? Because if he is your wonderful counselor, your everlasting God, your Prince of Peace, then every time you walk into a situation, it may look bleak, it may look dark, it may look like there's no hope, but we know that there is always hope because he takes every situation and he turns it around for good if we submit it to him, every situation. And I want to challenge you to do that this year. Biblical hope is not based on circumstances or situations. It's based on a person. And that's the key. It's based on a person, Jesus Christ. So when we put our hope in different things, our external circumstances or people, we will be let down every single time, every single time. But if we place our hope in Jesus, he fills us with living water so that we don't walk through life feeling like downcast or sad or, you know, in a state of depression. In every situation, I love how Richie said that today, that when we walk into a room that the hope of glory lives inside of us, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the trajectory of that situation. You have the power. I have seen God do this so much in my work where we have seen, you know, people that we work with just so sad, just heavy. We work in healthcare. So it's a lot right now. It's a lot. And mom and I have the ability every single day, God opens up a door for us to speak truth and to speak love. And we have marketers who ask us to pray for them that don't go to church. How does that happen? How does that even happen? The way that it happens is because when we walk into a situation, we might be like, oh my God, we're freaking out right now. But then when we step into the situation, okay, hey, yeah, we're good. Everything's good. We're, you know, it's going to work out. It's all going to be okay. You can freak out with God, but then when you come out in public, it's game on. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't be freaking out right now. Let's go. That's why we spend time with him every single morning. That's why we get into his presence every day, because he fills us with that hope so that when we are around people, we're not faking it till we make it. It's that we truly believe that he can turn around this situation. My last verse today is Romans 15, 13. And it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what a wonderful counselor does. Band, if you could come up. He still addresses those areas of our heart. Don't think that just because we're Christians, God's not going to address, like the woman at the well. He still addressed those areas of blatant sin. He still addressed those areas of faulty thinking. He addresses our little barriers of control that we set up in our life. He identifies all of those things. But he's so good in the way that he comes to us. And this is why I love that word, wonderful counselor. Because that's what happens. When you go to a counselor and you sit in their office, it's one-on-one. You're telling them your story. And then they're giving you, from a professional's perspective, direction on how to change that situation. And that is what Jesus does. That is why he's our wonderful counselor. This scene depicted it so perfectly because he goes to her. He listens to her. He asks her questions. And in one conversation, he changes the trajectory of her life. With just a word, he changes it. I am the Messiah. And it was the Spirit revealed it to her at that moment, and it changed her life. And that's what he does for us. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you that you are our wonderful counselor. I thank you that in those moments when we were so far from you, that our thinking was so far off from you, that our behavior was so far off from you, that you intervened in that moment right there and you found us and you called us yours. Lord, I pray that we would live in such a way that we remember how you called us, God. Lord, what it took to put us on the right path. God, I pray that we would serve you, Lord, this year in 2022. God, that we would grow in our relationship with you, that we would commit to that, God, in a new way. Lord, I thank you that when we step into a situation, into a room, into an environment, God, that the wonderful counselor goes before us. Lord, I thank you that you give us the words to say. Lord, you give us the peace that we need. God, I thank you that in 2022, your people are not going to be frazzled and frayed and fragmented in their thinking, God, but that they're going to be laser focused on who you are and the promises that you've called them to. God, I thank you that money, like Richie was talking about, the finances aren't going to be an issue, God. But more than that, God, I pray that we would live a life of obedience to you. God, that when you ask us to do it, that you're going to find us faithful. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing peace in this season, for bringing clarity. Lord, all the turmoil that's going on in the world, God, you know exactly what's happening. And I thank you that you're speaking directly to your church, that you're readying your church, you're preparing your church. I pray that we would not grow weary of the process, God, but that we would continue to stay in it. We thank you for the ability to fight through our emotional tendencies to drift backwards into unhealthy habits. God, I pray you would just set us on a course, Father God, and tightly bind us in with boundaries, Father God, so that we don't slip into old patterns. We appreciate you. We appreciate you running after us. We appreciate you calling us yours when the world was calling us something else. We thank you for this today. In Jesus' name, amen.